The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your RJ Ochoa. He is your 75, two-time Super Bowl champion, college football Hall of Famer, and wearing a nice edition of camo, it looks like. The one and only Tony Casillas. TC, what up?
I'm doing good. And, you know, we're doing this, you know, our podcast via Zoom, and I guess we broadcast on YouTube, and I got this lighting because I need to look softer. You know, I'm just behind the curtain, you know, the older you get. And I feel like I'm just glowing, not because of what, you know, me personally, but it's just I'm lit up. But anyways, to your point, yeah, it's everything's going good, man. Great to be here with you on Tuesday. So, yeah, everything is good, my man. Looking good.
Yeah, it's kind of gloomy and chilly outside. Not quite the freeze from a couple of weeks ago, thankfully. Like, this is, I mean, I don't know what the temp is in your neck of the woods, but it's a cool kind of 52 degrees right now. This I like. This I can tolerate. You know what I mean? Like, this is enough to crack open a couple of hoodies and kind of just experience the cold in that limited capacity. Anything beyond that is way too much. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing also. We got to be sensitive to people that went through the winter Armageddon right. A couple of weeks ago. And but, yeah, to that point, it went from 0 to 80 just like that. It was just ridiculous how, we thawed out. But, yeah, I don't know about you, but it's just amazing what the weather can do. And to the point about the camo, and I mentioned this on our broadcast, and I'll give them a plug. They do it to me. It's called Four Par, and it's, it's a golf apparel. You can order it monthly, and you get a little care package every month. And just so happened, I got this in my box. It was a couple of weeks delayed because, as I mentioned, no one was delivering anything during that ice storm and that Armageddon storm. So it's nice to open up something, and I actually like this. So, I think guys, they need that every once in a while. They need that little care package to open up and open up something and like, man, this is pretty cool. So,
yeah, nice totally. Surprise. You can wear it. I saw you were practicing this. You can wear it during your next yoga class.
No, brother. all right. So I did post that Zen Master. My wife and I went to Arkansas. It was last fall. It was a change of the colors. My daughter goes to the University of Arkansas. So you did notice the brace on my knee. I don't know if you noticed that in the picture, but that's my only version of yoga. To actually get my knees to bend up like that, I struck a pose. But no downward dog, nothing like that. That's unfortunately the old man cannot make those moves. My wife, on the way, by the way, can, because that's all she does is Pilates. But I will never, ever, ever, even my second life, be somewhat as flexible.
When I was courting my wife, she invited me to a yoga class on a Saturday morning at 7 a.m. And I really, really liked her. And so I went.
You do just about anything in that first phase, right?
I went, and it was okay. But man, it is like, I mean, it is not easy. You know, like it is not this chill form of exercise. I mean, it will knock you on your ass. You know what I mean? Like it's a hard sort of thing, and I can't even imagine. What's the like elevated like Bikram yoga? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, breathing. The heated.
Yeah, and yeah, I. The- I believe Bruce Carter, the Cowboys linebacker, used to do that. And so that was like a big deal. I just was going to ask, when you were playing, was anybody into yoga at the time, or nobody was looking into athletic, you know, kind of molding like that?
It wasn't vogue then. It was something that it was more for, I would say, females. Guys didn't do that. The stretching was on emphasis. I wish it would have been, but right. I think most of the guys that realized that as we moved on to the younger generation, how valuable it is. And so, I'm just going to kind of tread the waters carefully, but I remember going to a yoga class and everybody's talking about, man, you know, the women in there are just really hot, you know, and I'm like, okay. And not that I was going in there because of that. So I go in there and I'm thinking, all right, and I'm looking around, and about the first 10 minutes, I didn't even think about what was peripheral or was around me. I was just trying to not look ridiculous and survive it. And the Brinkman's workout, oh my gosh, RJ, I was just struggling to not dehydrate, but it's difficult. So I will always get people, the thing about the yoga is that I like to see the dudes, and look, I'm, you know who I am. I'm kind of unfiltered. I like to see the dudes with the little yoga mat that walk in with the shorts and the tights and everything. I have a tendency, propensity to give them a hard time and call them the yoga guy, but I will not ever make fun of no one, because it is very difficult to stretch.
Really. No, for sure. And like every move there, they'll be like, okay, now we're going to hold this for a minute. And you're thinking like, holy crap. Like I can barely do this for 10 seconds, but.
And you're doing the downward dog and you're thinking, man, I just really, really like this woman because I'm doing something I'm not used to doing. So shout out to her and you know how much you liked her, but yeah, there's some things you'll do for love.
It worked out, needless to say. So plyometrics or whatever they're called, or as you mentioned, in vogue now. Dak Prescott obviously does the hip movements and adjustments that really took off. Almost 2 years ago. And here we are, Tony. A week ago, we sat here and talked about the franchise tag window opening. At the moment of our recording, to be fair, there is no franchise tag on Dak Prescott. They won't place it on him until they absolutely have to at the 11th hour. So they still have some time in that capacity. But since we last spoke, things changed, but well, I don't know. Maybe you think they did change. Since we last spoke, Russell Wilson, it was actually right after we spoke almost. Mm-hmm. There was the incredible report in The Athletic about the discourse between him and the Seahawks, about how he seemingly wants his way out of there. And later on in the day, it was reported that while he has not asked for a trade, and he does have a no trade clause in his contract, that the only teams he would play for and therefore waive that clause for would be the Las Vegas Raiders, the Chicago Bears, the New Orleans Saints, and of course the Dallas Cowboys. So my first question to you is, do you think this is Russell including the Cowboys because they're the Cowboys to kind of drive the story to get him out of Seattle? You know, it's kind of like you mentioned the Cowboys and everybody's ears perk up a little bit more. Well, or do you think he's really interested?
It keeps everybody thinking, the speculation of it, of Russell Wilson and just all the different scenarios. And I think if you're in Seattle, obviously there's a point. And I think there's all this reference this week about quarterbacks, you know, want to be empowered. And to a certain extent, they kind of want to be like the NBA, but it's totally different with their players like LeBron, the guys that can move the needle. And I started thinking about RJ. When you look at Russell Wilson and what he can bring, and at first I like, just preposterous to think about that. The Cowboys aren't going to do anything. But then you look at the scenarios of what he can do for all those teams. And if I'm another team, I do not want to see him. Even it's all speculation and just a pipe dream. It goes to New Orleans. I mean, he goes to New Orleans. That is a difficult team to deal with, considering who they just moved from, Drew Brees. And then the Cowboys, yeah, I mean, I think that if you could even – think of the scenario of trading for Russell Wilson. I mean, you start, you know, talking about comparing the two quarterbacks and Dak Prescott and so forth. But, you know, right now, the way I stand on this whole Dak Prescott, and I heard some people talking about it this morning, I read it on the internet, is that the Cowboys had a chance a couple of years to get a cheap deal when we're talking about what the money he wants now. I mean, we're talking about 17 to maybe 20 million, maybe 2 years ago, whenever they could have extended his contract, but they didn't want to because it was too early, right? And they wanted to sign other players. They signed DeMarcus Lawrence. Basically, they could have got him for DeMarcus Lawrence money as far as guaranteed for average per season, 17 to 20 million, something like that. Now here we are, 37 million, as you mentioned, if they're going to move to the franchise tag. And now he wants Patrick Mahomes money. So people are like, oh, well, he doesn't deserve that. But that's where we're at. The Cowboys had a chance to sign Dak Prescott at a reasonable rate that both sides could live with. But here they are, waited another 2 years, and now they're up to he's looking for a contract that's averaging 37 to maybe 40 million a year. And people are thinking that's ridiculous. He hasn't done anything like a Patrick Mahomes, but that's the price of paying poker now, unfortunately. Right. And I think that Dak Prescott, he's getting more of the flack because he wants that type of money. And people got to remember, as I mentioned, 2 years ago, they could have got him at a bargain deal considering what the salary cap is now and what the franchise tag number is.
I don't know. I think we all grow tired of saying the same things over and over again, right? I mean, I don't know how to explain this, you know, reality more. It's like when, I mean, again, we've done these analogies, but when you buy a car, you know, what is the exact expression? Like your car loses value the moment you drive it off the lot or whatever.
Yeah,
I think that's the word, depreciates.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to pay a lot of money right now. Nobody has ever denied this, mm-hmm. and it's going to look like a lot right now. But the more that time goes on, the more friendly it will look. I mean, if they, at one point in time, Yahoo's Charles Robinson reported that Russell Wilson's contract was the standard that Dak was chasing. If they had paid him that, I mean, it would look cheap right now. It would look moderate. I mean, Tony, it was just 3 years ago, that Matt Ryan broke the bank and became the first quarterback to get at least $30 million a year from your beloved Atlanta Falcons.
And people are like, are you serious? A quarterback's making $30 million, averaging $30 million a year?
And he was the first to hit that mark. And it was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're paying a quarterback this much money, et cetera. By the way, I've been reading an older book, and Drew Bledsoe in, I think, 2001 got a contract that's total, like, you know, value was like $106 million.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it's, you know, like, we're talking about the guaranteed money in Dak's contract's going to be over that. But anyway, it's just crazy how much the world has changed. But anyway, I've said this 1,000 times, but I keep saying it because I'm terrified about it. Is Russell better than Dak? Totally. I don't think anybody can rationally disagree with this, but however much better he is, say Russell is a 10 out of 10, Dak is like an 8 out of 10. The difference isn't, you know, super gigantic. And so the cost it would be to upgrade, and granted, Russell has a contract that now looks nice. Again, you could have had this with Dak. I'm terrified that the Cowboys want, I talked to you about this last week. I think they want to win. I think they want the world to say that they won, that they did it the right way, that they beat Dak, and going out and getting Russ in one way is doing that, but it would cost them a lot of draft capital. And I think that would be a really irresponsible way to go about this. But I mean, the more that time goes on, it really is amazing how little leverage the Cowboys have. They have none. I mean, they have absolutely none. And some people say, or have said over the last week, well, Russell wants to play for them, so that's a bit of leverage. I don't think that's leverage at all. Like, in fact, I think that works against the Cowboys in that, like I've told you what Emmett said when we had him on, how this is going to bleed into the team. If I was, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that any Cowboys player feels this way, but if I was on the Cowboys, I'd be kind of pissed off that Russell is out here saying this, because I'd be thinking, do we have a quarterback? Like, no disrespect, Russ, but, you know, keep things in your own house. You know what I mean? Like, quit looking over here because we're good. Would you be bothered if you were on the Cowboys right now?
Well, if I was a guy that was one of the franchise players on that team, whether it be, I guess, DeMarcus Lawrence, whether it be Zeke Elliott, someone that has a voice that you'll listen to, I would be a little bit more vocal about it because of the importance of signing him. And You know, and look at it, you know, the other aspect of it. You play this company line, and you don't want to say too much, but you want to say enough to give him respect. But
right.
If you're really going to go down the road of being successful in the next 2 or 3 years, because I really think this is, you know, they're on a meter as far as what they can do, and if they don't sign Dak, it sets his franchise back even more, and I think you lose respect for the decision making they've made. If indeed that happens. But I mean, for me, there's got to be a point, like, just sign the guy. And to the point about Patrick Mahomes, the NBA, I mean, all the time they pay players. And I know it's a different comparison, but your lead dog is a guy that's going to get paid. But we're looking at max contracts in the NBA, guys, you know, averaging 20 points per game, and they're getting $200, $300 million a year. Maybe that's, you know, I'm exaggerating. But the point is that they're getting paid. So, you know, I think that, as you mentioned, the point of eight between, you know, the difference between it being eight and a 10, I mean, it's not that much money when you look at the big scheme of things. It's really not. And people get bogged down with that. And whether that's coming from the Dallas Cowboys side or Dak's camp, I mean, it all is relevant. And I think the thing, the surrender to power, is really a struggle, I think, for Jerry.
Yeah.
Surrender power right now, because of the money, is just so huge. And you're surrendering power and your vulnerability. And I don't know, maybe I'm just looking at it, it's a little unreality of it. But to me, that's what it seems like.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
No, and it's like, People, and you deal with this more than anybody. Like, I'm sure everybody in your life has a take on the Cowboys, right? Like, everybody's blowing you up. Everybody's texting you, whatever. Like, oh, yeah, Jerry wants this, whatever. Just, again, like, every
just
person.
Just go on Twitter and tweet something about it. And you're like, people just all of a sudden, like, they come out of the woodwork. And like,
right.
It's crazy, the response.
But so people love to say, oh, Jerry will do anything to win another championship. This is the exact opposite direction of that. You know what I mean? Like, this is really hurting the cause, so to speak. And I made a similar analogy a few weeks ago. This movie came out when I was a kid, and you were, you know, kind of in your heyday with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Right. Okay. Awesome Christmas movie. Actually, the other day, I tweeted about this too. My parents, they've been going through a bunch of like stuff in the attic, and they gave me all my old crap. And so now we have a bunch of stuff in my garage.
I saw that. Was it a Pokemon card or what?
Yeah,
was it?
Yeah. It's funny you meant like, I didn't, I mean, like, I obviously liked Pokemon when I was a kid, but I really, like, people like it now and that's cool, but it's not my thing anymore.
Yeah.
And so apparently they're really worth something. So that's my new side project. But anyway, so there were a bunch of other toys, like action figures and stuff. And I had a Turbo Man doll from Jingle All the Way. My parents got me one Christmas, and it looked like the real thing.
I thought that was a fictional
It was, but I mean, welcome to corporate America.
I mean, okay, okay. I thought I never did even think about no, that. I didn't think the Turbo Man would even made it. It was just a fictional.
Nah, he wasn't like a real, you know, cartooner or whatever. It was just, you know, he was a character in the movie, and then they sold the toy. You know,
right, I understand that, but I thought it never was on the market. I mean, why not?
No, it was really cool, and yeah. So I was looking at it the other day. And so the whole plot of that movie, if anybody's never seen Jingle All the Way, Arnold Schwarzenegger's a dad. His kid really wants his Turbo Man doll. He's waited until Christmas Eve. He has to go out and get it. So he's running all over New York or wherever it is. And he's going to every toy store trying to find it. And like the Turbo Man doll represents a quarterback in the NFL. Like you've got to have one, right? Like, and I've never been there, but I imagine you have been, you know, at the 11th hour trying to get something for one of your kids. For Christmas,
that never
happened to you, but maybe a friend of yours.
Never.
And so I imagine that would be a really stressful process because if you don't have that toy or whatever it is, whatever the gift or whatever, the kid's gonna be upset, your wife's gonna be upset, and then you're gonna have to deal with everyone being upset in your household in what is supposed to be a great and joyous moment. And so that's what the struggle that Arnold Schwarzenegger is dealing with. And if you don't get the Turbo Man doll, Cowboys, you're going to be like, and the sidekick in that movie is Booster, the little pink, you know, thing I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You don't want Booster to be your franchise quarterback. You want Turbo Man. And I mean, I can't believe where this analogy's gone, but the reality is like Arnold Schwarzenegger at that point, like he's even paying like the black market toys, you know, to whatever. And he's paying everything he has to because he knows he needs that toy. He's willing to pay whatever. And in one weird sense, Arnold Schwarzenegger gets it more than Jerry Jones. You know what I mean? In that Arnold was willing to do whatever it took to get this doll. But, you know, the Cowboys are just kind of letting time go by and they're flirting with disaster here.
So what was it? Was it PlayStation 5 or 6 this year that was the big?
Oh, it was 5. It was 5.
Okay, well, you couldn't get one.
I still don't have one. Thanks
but
for
you could go
for
and
solving that wound.
Well, yeah, but if you really wanted to get one, you'd have to spend like twice as much as the
– Yeah, like on eBay and
retail.
Stuff, right?
Yeah, and so if you really want to look at it that way, if you really want something that bad, then you'll go out and pay more than retail.
Yep.
And, you know, while it may not seem – it's important to someone, they're going to wait and not pay retail. I mean, it's important to the other person because they got to have it, okay? Right. To your point about, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger was this dad in this movie that probably didn't spend as much time with his son. That's another. So the point is that you're going to go out and buy something that brings more value to you, regardless of what other people think. Whatever is going to make your family life great, your business right, you're going to go out and pay for that person because you really feel like they're the value to your company and franchise or your family. And I think that's a good analogy when you look at Dallas because they don't have anyone else that can bring that type of value and bring those type of valuable assets that they need. And Russell Wilson would be the outlandish scenario for them to even think about. And to be able to sacrifice draft picks and everything, the deal with Dak is that I think Dak, if I'm Dak, I'm going to take a hard stand now. I mean, I've given him the opportunity. I even put myself out there on the limb and gambled on myself and look what happened. And hopefully he comes back. I think they're saying in April, maybe, whatever that is. I don't know if he's going to be the same player, but he's probably going to be 100%, 75, 80%. His mobility, which to me is a lot more than some of these quarterbacks that play in the National Football League. But my point is that I'm going to play hardball. I'm like, okay, I want 37 million is the franchise tag if you franchise me. Well, I'm going to stick to that if you're going to pay me that, but I'm going to average at least 37 to 40 million a year because you've already told me that's what I'm worth because you don't want to be willing to sign the extensive contract, but I'm going to set on that number. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to force your hand. And if I get a sign of a franchise tag, then guess what? I'm going to be a free agent. And then I'm going to get paid the next 3 or 4 years. So I think he's in a pretty good situation. I'm not one of these people that really feel sorry for Dak. I don't feel sorry for anyone that's going to make what he made $33 million last year. And then 30, if he makes the France 37 million, I mean, shoot, man, I think he's going to be okay. I've always said that. Dak's going to be okay.
No, I think the point that everyone's coming from is – you know, you got all these people that are like, pay Dak, pay Dak, pay Dak. And I think people want him to succeed, right? Like, people want him to get paid because I think everyone wants to see everyone get paid, right? Like, in a perfect world, everybody gets paid. But I think the other thing is Dak makes them better, right? So that's why people care so much.
But then you have the people that are like, okay, if he goes out and he signs an extension and he has a bad year, you have people, oh, I told you that Dak wasn't the quarterback. So you always have those sides to it. So
but, you
I don't
know,
think you're ever going to be right. You're always going to have the anti-Dak and you're going to have the Dak people. But the bottom line is that's the market of the National Football League at that quarterback position. And people can't get over that. They got to take their blinders off and realize that is the price that you pay a quarterback in a National Football League that is out, you know, moving off their rookie contract.
No, I agree entirely. And I think people will disagree with this, but that's fine. I can take it. I'm like Arnold Schwarzenegger. The deals for Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, they look bad now, obviously. There's no question about it because they regressed as quarterbacks. Most would say they weren't that great when they got paid. Obviously, Carson had the 1 year. But I still believe that the Rams and Eagles did the right thing because they paid them as early as they could. And
absolutely.
And they paid them, you know, market rate. Mm-hmm. And had those quarterbacks developed properly, you know, and some of that is the Eagles coaching and the Rams, you know, and some of that is on Goff, some of it's on Wentz, whatever. But had those quarterbacks developed accordingly, those deals would look like bargains right now.
Absolutely.
And so it was a worthy and calculated risk that they took. And you know what? They were both able to get out of it, you know, like they were both able to trade them. Yeah. And so this is not the same thing because the Cowboys have waited so long, but I'm just terrified of what this Russell idea represents for them. You mentioned the PS5 thing, and I think that's an even better analogy because the price is going higher and higher and higher because of the demand. And so people will say, well, it's not worth it. Well, it's fine if you think it's not worth it, but that's the rate. Like if you want it, that's what eBay says you got to pay.
Right.
And what I'm worried about is in this situation, the kid or whoever wants it for Christmas has asked for a PS5. So you're the dad, Tony, you're on eBay. You're like, oh, this sucks. Like, I'm going to have to pay, you know, 300% the retail value, but my kid wants it. But the Cowboys are saying, well, my kid wants a PS5. But there's an Xbox over here that I can pay even more for, you know? And it's like, the kid's not even asking for an Xbox. You know what I mean? And you're going to pay more money to give them something that they're not even asking for, but you know, you think it's a better machine and that would be dumb. And that's ironic, by the way, because I think one of Russell's partners is Microsoft, who makes the Xbox. So nice corporate branding by me there. But yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody feels sorry for Dak. You're right. I mean, he made $31 million last year. If this doesn't work out, he's going to make 38 approximately this year. And the Cowboys are going to lose him. And this, it's just, I don't know. I mean, people talk so, this other thing. I don't know how many times in your life you've been asked about Jimmy and the breakup and everything. This is that. This is that in a different way, because if you go down this path where you let him walk away, Dak might not have success somewhere else, but you're always going to wonder, you know, what would have happened if we had gotten it done? Would there have been peace and love and harmony at the Star? Would we have worked it out? Because I don't think you want to start over right now. I mean, and your team is not built to start over. And this is a really, really, really bad position for them to be in.
Well, Romo retired, what, in 2015? Was it?
It was after he barely played in 15. He came back for 16 and then he got hurt in the preseason. And that was Dak's rookie year. So he officially retired in like this time in 2017.
Well, his last really great year was 2014. I guess that's where
correct.
I'm getting. And so that seems so long ago. Then you look at this whole transformation of power in the quarterback with Dak Prescott. And then now we moved on and here we are 2021. We're talking about, I think something that comes up, which is a valid point. Look at and look at reference and the difference in contracts with Tony Romo. You look at his deal. I mean, that was an enormous deal when he played. I mean, when he signed his last deal, made over, I mean, it was close to 100 mil or guaranteed. I have to go back. And bottom line is that it's nothing has anything that is comparable.
Bottom line, it was market rate. That's the bottom line. Right.
Yeah. And then you look at 2021 and you look at it, you know, Dak's salary for 2 years are going to be more than probably, I don't know, 60% of that. I'd have to go back. I don't have the numbers, but it's a big difference. And that's only been 3 or 4 years, 5 years at tops. So I think it's a mentality of a lot of people because they associate with the quarterback position. And you fast forward this deal in 10 years. I mean, you think we're going to be paying quarterbacks $50 million a year or 45, whatever it escalates to. I mean, I don't know if it's going to slow down, but the point is that someone always told me whenever I signed my contract, you know, decades and moons ago, that that was a lot of money. But then when you look at 20 years from that, it's going to be a lot more. And I'm like, really? It's going to be that much? And now look at these contracts now. It's laughable to think about. Not laughable, but a minute to think that it's not going to escalate. I mean, you'd be really, really just naive to think that wouldn't happen. And now you look at it, it's like all about the perspective of that number. And to pay a quarterback $40 million, it's got to be a special dude. And he's got to have Super Bowl titles and he's got to have all this resume. But the going rate in the National Football League quarterback, it is what it is. I hate to use that, but it is what it is as far as what these quarterbacks get paid. So I think we all just got to just get over that because it is just all about mentality, about what we think the standard is of paying a franchise quarterback.
It's if you can't tell, it's exhausting. You know,
I got the energy this morning, but I mean, there's a part of me that brings out, you know, I woke up kind of on the wrong side of the bed this morning. I have a propensity to do that. And so then I'm sorry, you know, I mean, I don't know what it was. You know how it is. You have your days. I mean, you're pretty much laid back guy, but so, I mean, when you start reading these things about the reason, the voice of reason or whatever that is, people just, they just got to calm down and understand that this is the whole process. They should be more pissed off about the process of the Cowboys not moving this along and where they are now, not at Dak Prescott. I think that's the sentimental probably view you're getting now, this whole situation, if that makes sense.
Well, and I think it is astounding who could be on the team side at this point. You know what I mean? Dak has proven his worth as an NFL quarterback. He's proven his worth as the team's unquestioned leader. He has sacrificed himself for this team, obviously getting hurt last season. And that's what I'm saying. Like we're not lawyers, but like sometimes like, you know, like you watch like a show, like my wife and I have been rewatching Suits lately. And sometimes you see like one of the cases the lawyers handle, you're like, I could win that. You know what I mean? Like that's super easy. That's like a slam dunk. Like that wouldn't require that much skills at all. And no disrespect to Dak's representation here, but like, I feel like this would be a really easy thing to argue because on top of all of the things related to Dak, the team has set themselves an awful precedent here in that they paid the off the ball linebacker who has regressed. They paid the running back. They paid the two most inefficient positions in football. And I'm not trying to chastise Jalen or Zeke, but that's the reality of it. And so, I mean, again, if Tony and RJ are arguing for Dak here, the argument is now, okay, so you don't have a problem paying the most inefficient people in your locker room in terms of the value they bring to your football team. What about the guy who brings the most value? Like, right. Why do you think that should be the person to take? You mentioned the DeMarcus Lawrence contract. I have zero issue with that contract. I know you've gone, you know, you've had some thoughts on D-Lo, but even if Tank doesn't totally work out, that's a position that you spend on because mm-hmm. that's an impact position. Right. And running back is not that. Jalen is not that. And so Dak is that. And so again, to say they're painted into a corner is not even the right way to put it. They're painted into a corner on the floor and on the walls and on the ceiling. There's literally just like a tiny little crevice that they can sit in and just kind of sulk. And they're stuck. And instead of like being stuck and admitting, you know what, I made a mistake, let's fix this together, they want a way out. And I really believe that Russell represents a way out for them, which is why I'm nervous.
Well, I think if that's the scenario, if you go that route, I mean, I think, first of all, I mean, I guess the question would be, are you better off with Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott? I mean, answer that question. I would say yes, because of what he's done and he's an amazing quarterback. You look at the weaponry that he has, the wide receivers, and, you know, I don't know what this offensive line, hopefully it'll be healthy next year and they have a good running back. So I think that he is a proven commodity, but what you're going to have to give up for him. I think there's a lot of things on the other side of the ball you got to address, but you're talking about giving up They want 3 first round draft picks, or maybe a 1, or maybe I'd give up maybe a 1, a 2, and maybe a 3, and then give them somebody, you know, a starter on their team maybe. But, you know, I think that's far away, because I think that Chicago, and I looked at Chicago, they have the 10th pick in the draft, I believe, right? And
the Cowboys have the 10th.
A 10th. And okay, right. So what do they have? The 20th? We're talking about the Bears. What I'm trying to
They're think. A little bit further back.
Yeah, 20th. Yeah, the Cowboys are the 10th. I'm sorry. But anyway, they're talking about drafting a quarterback. And I'm thinking, if all those teams that he's brought up as far as the teams he wants to be traded to, whether it's true or not, if I'm Chicago, I'm going to be on the phone. I'm going to be trying to work a deal for Russell Wilson, because they haven't had a quarterback since, I guess, Jim McMahon, 1985, I guess. So the thing that, to me, is that it makes more sense to a team like Chicago to do that, because they haven't had a quarterback in so long. The Mitchell Trubisky deal did not work out. And so, you know, you put Russell Wilson on that franchise, I think that you really have a lot more promise you do than what the Cowboys may have, if that makes sense. And as far as giving it up and really making sense and not getting a bunch of flack and what you're going to give up if you make that decision to go in that direction.
Right. I agree. At first I was kind of perplexed by Chicago being on the list, but Russell is a big legacy guy. And you mentioned Jim McMahon, and no disrespect, but the Bears have kind of never had a quarterback. They've never had a quarterback throw for even 4,000 yards. Right. They've never had a quarterback throw for 30 touchdowns. Russell could, like, the path to immortality is the shortest in Chicago, because they're so quarterback starved. So I don't know. That would be really interesting.
It would be a tremendous market for him too. I mean, the Cowboys to me is if you're the quarterback, that's the best place to be as a franchise quarterback. But Chicago, oh my gosh, we're talking Michael Jordan risk.
Right.
I mean, that would be tremendous if he could turn that thing around.
Yeah, and my dog has been pissed. I mean, the Bears are kind of his two team, you know, right. For obvious reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, this would give him a different rooting interest, so that would be cool. But yeah, well, hopefully next week we're not just talking about Dak Prescott, but that's like the thing. It's not even like the elephant in the room. Like, the room is the elephant. You know what I mean? Like, we're just in the elephant at this point. They have six, shaped like an elephant.
So they have 7 more days until the franchise officially starts March 9th. So I don't know what the over and under is. I'm going to say that they don't have a deal done by that date. I think that's a safe bet.
You think at the deadline, the tag deadline, they have to put the tag on him?
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I don't foresee that happening. I mean, it hasn't happened to this point. So
go get Turbo Man.
Yeah, Turbo Man, or you know, go ahead and spend some money. Yeah, and just make him feel important. Like we can't live without that. Like, you got to make and take another step further. Don't ever wait to the last moment to shop for your wife, because you'll never hear the end of that. And that's something you never do. So that will cost you a lot of money.
Exactly.
RJ, that's the best advice I can give to you. You're going on, what, a year anniversary?
Our anniversary is the 9th, so lots going on the 9th.
So that's my words of advice to give you, and I'm sure your dad gives you the same advice. Don't ever wait to the last minute, especially on your anniversary, to go shopping.
That's right. Wise words from Tony Casillas. Well, we'll see what happens with Dak. We'll see how pissed off we are next week. Everybody have a good one. This was the 750.